Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Not ready yet. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Risnall. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. It's Monday, where we do what we can to make today make sense. Some days it works, some days it don't.
Yep, but we still keep showing up. I'm Molly Wood. Today we're going to do the usual Happy Monday.
I like somebody asked me. We come anyway. We're here anyway, you know.
Whatever. We come anyway. Like, it's not a promise. It's an attempt. Somebody asked the other day, do you think that Make Me Smart will ever not be daily? And I was like, don't be crazy. We will do some news. We will do some smiles. And then we'll just be about our day.
There we
just
go.
Just like the rest of you.
You've got a bunch, so hit it. You've got like three?
I do. It's really only two stories. Two of the links are the same. But I just had to give an update because I am so glad that I plucked the GameStop stock story.
Yeah.
Out of the pile the other day, because turns out this is a thing. And I'm finding it so fascinating. They've sort of boiled the source of this big bubble down to one Reddit board, a subreddit called Wall Street Bets, which they say is sort of a combination. They say it's like if 4chan had a Bloomberg terminal. And now, which is amazing.
I'm laughing, but that's really not very funny. That's not good at all.
It's not, but it's fascinating. And then we have now introduced into the lexicon the phrase meme stock. So like this whole GameStop situation with its stock, you know, rising to dizzying heights, people just betting on and on that it will never go down is a meme. It's basically just like Bernie photos, Bernie sitting everywhere. It's equally as much a meme to buy GameStop stock, which is astonishing. And so then now there's a great Wired story about how, you know, a short seller was like, well, I'm gonna do a live stream and talk about how this is so ridiculous. And here's the five reasons that GameStop stock could go down. For example, really? And then he said he got totally harassed and doxxed, and the Wall Street Bets board has indeed evidence of people saying, like, here's his personal information. So it's basically like what's happening, and I find this fascinating and will not be able to get enough of it this year, I can already tell, is that internet culture combined with this sort of like fun and frenzy that is gambling on the stock market with probably a little bit of excess income is meeting actual Wall Street. And so, of course, institutional investors are having a fit. Of course, this is like dangerous. But on the other hand, it's sort of like, wasn't this always what was going to happen? Like the biggest casino in the world has been available to people with the time and money this whole time. They just hadn't discovered it yet. And now the internet has, and they're basically going to like Pepe the Frog Wall Street. And God only knows what's going to happen. It can't end well.
So look, here's the thing with this. And of course you get why the Wall Street professionals are really angry, because this just gives lie to their whole, oh, the markets are all about efficient allocation of capital and blah, 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 right?
But we're professionals.
Here you have the proverbial 400-pound guy sitting on his bed in a basement, to quote the prior president, just messing with people.
Just messing with the whole stock market.
And it's really bad. It's really bad because they could do this with Goldman. They could do this with Exxon. They could do this with Tesla, right? I mean, Tesla's enough of a carnival, right? Totally.
The story says, now that the barrier to trading options is lower than ever, having leverage in the stock market can be as easy as having a couple hundred thousand buddies and an app.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Google
maybe we
bombing.
Should give people... Oh, yeah. Yep.
Which is an old phrase, but where you'd get a whole bunch of people to submit the same search result for a certain search query so that you'd push it to the top. And it was like, you know, mini marketing kind of thing. Right. We should get
people. So let's tell people how bananas this is, right? At 10:45 this morning, a share of GameStop went for $144.59. Okay. 10:45 this morning, $145. At, 12:25 this afternoon, it was $61.13.
Wow.
It's a crapshoot.
It was also, by the way, on January 11th, it was $20.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Yeah. I should have gone back farther.
So it's this weird thing where they're Bitcoining, you know, they're doing this whole thing. I mean, and so far, look, some dudes made a lot of money.
Yep.
On it so far, which tells us nothing. It's not going to go away. And any rules, is where it just becomes a paradox. Any rules that they put into place to try to stop it will just shut out individual investors.
Right.
It's, I mean, this is going to be a thing. This is a thing. I don't know how it ends. Probably not well, but it's.
Well, right. And there were strange movements in BlackBerry stock today and one other. I forget which it is. But you have to believe that CEOs who really we want not paying attention to stock price, right? You have to believe that all these CEOs are like, oh, my God, am I next?
Right. And what does it mean? And in the short term, is it so super duper great? But what does the crash look like? I mean, it is. Yeah, this is one we're going to follow. We have currently no answers, only numb fascination, because I do feel like in a weird way, it was like only a matter of time before they got to the biggest jackpot of them all. Yep.
All right. What else you got?
This is related to your thing, which is that just today, Twitter announced this thing called Birdwatch, which is basically like they're going to try to go Reddit/Wikipedia on misinformation and disinformation on the platform, have this sort of weird crowdsourced product, I guess, where people can create notes and try to provide context. So they're just sort of trying to outsource all the fact checking to the people on Twitter, and I think many of the people on Twitter would be like, yeah, we've totally been trying to do this for you for years, and you never listen. So we'll see. More on that, but just happened.
More on that. So my thing is, and I can't recommend him highly enough, Ben Smith at the New York Times used to run BuzzFeed. He is now the media columnist at the Times, taking up the David Carr mantle. He's writing some really insightful stuff about a lot of things. The thing he wrote about this past weekend was Facebook's oversight board, which I encourage you to read this piece because it sort of comes off as a global supreme governing body for the empire of Zuckerberg, which is not a grand statement because he's got 2 billion people under his sway. It does, however, raise a couple of questions in my mind. First of all, we've got rules for one company, Facebook, because Mark Zuckerberg is sick and tired of being beat up about what can and cannot go on his website. And the case at hand right now, of course, is the former president of the United States and whether or not he gets to come back. And this oversight board, which, again, if you read this article and do some Googling, you'll find out is composed of some fairly interesting people around the world, about 20 of them. In fact, exactly 20 of them, who, by the way, get six-figure paychecks for being on this board, which I would do that. I would do that.
Absolutely.
If Zuckerberg's listening to this podcast.
I know someone who was invited and not very politely declined.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Well, yeah, right? I mean, you could see declining because, man, the pitfalls are enormous. Starting with,
are
you really going to have power? You know?
Right. And if you do you really want it? Because that's an awesome and terrible power that Facebook probably should keep for itself as a freaking company.
Right.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Right. I totally derailed you. Please.
No, that's fine. That's fine, right? Because that kind of goes to what I'm saying. This body governs what's going to happen, excuse me, to 2 billion people, what they're going to see, okay? So number one, and again, it's absolutely insane that a private company has that kind of power. But number two, this does go to highlight, number 1A, the absolute lack of any kind of regulation from any governmental authorities on this kind of thing, which I understand is a slippery slope. But number two, how complete the failure has been of other big social media companies, and I'm thinking here specifically about Twitter, for transparency and intellectual rigor in what they let on, right? I mean, Zuckerberg has set up this committee in part to not be the target of everything, but also to have some kind of process by which this stuff gets decided. Jack Dorsey, on the other hand, we learned in the pages, I believe it was the New York Times the other day, was living out his angst in French Polynesia while his company decided to ban the president of the United States. And you're like, is that really how it ought to be going? Is that is that what ought to be happening? Anyway, read this article. It's really interesting. You can go to the, I think it's oversightboard.org. I don't know. Hang on a minute.
Facebook.
I'm such a bad typer. Oversight? No. Well, anyway, Oversight Board something something. Google it. read the bios of the people that are there. You know, look at their tenets of membership and the decisions they're going to make. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Super interesting. And given that we are, I think, at the very beginning, really, of trying to regulate these platforms in a substantive and meaningful way, I think we ought to be paying attention to this.
I was thinking, I was looking back at the history of Twitter and Donald Trump, because that is, in fact, of course, where he launched the birther campaign and got so much attention for it. Because my son and I were watching the White House press correspondents dinner speeches from 2011, they sort of kept calling him out and making fun of him. But, you know, I mean, it got all of its traction on Twitter. I wondered to myself, like, what would have happened if it had been shut down then? Because apparently by, like, 2011, something like 65 or 70% of Republicans believed that then-President Obama was born in Kenya.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of, you could almost argue that that is when the disinformation campaign that resulted in his presidency began. And it's a long and tortured road when you start thinking about Twitter's role in all of it.
Yep.
Okay, feels like a good time for a smiles.
Yeah, let's do that.
Oh, good. All right. Both put in the breaking news. The breaking news.
Yes, of course. Had to.
Treasury.
That's my favorite part of that song, I think. I like the whole thing.
It's so good.
Yeah.
You do it. This is your beat. Take this one.
Okay. So, two quickies. Number one, Janet Yellen has been confirmed as the Secretary of the Treasury. Item 1A, I'll do that for the second time. Go to marketplace.org and listen to that song by Dessa because it's amazing. And also, and more substantively, and which is not to take anything away from Janet Yellen at all, but the Biden administration is getting back on track the idea of taking Andrew Jackson off and putting Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill. Which is cool, and it's awesome, and it's overdue, and Mnuchin under President Trump slow-rolled it, and Biden under now Janet Yellen is going to unroll it, as it were, which is cool.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Far be it from me to give a company too much credit, and just, like, don't at me all the reasons that this isn't what I want it to be, because I'm sorry, like, I'm going to take the victories where I can. I thought this was very interesting that given the financial realities of the pandemic, also, let's be real, maybe there will be a giant audience for the Super Bowl, but Budweiser said it is not going to buy any ad space. It's foregoing its annual Super Bowl commercial slot for the first time in 37 years alongside, so are Coke, Hyundai, and Pepsi. And granted, this is about money, but I did like that at least Budweiser was like, we're going to reallocate the media investment to raise awareness about the COVID vaccine.
Yeah.
So, great. Because you know what? Nobody needs to spend that kind of money on a football game.
I love
the Clydesdales, though. Probably, I'm just going to go back and watch a bunch of those, though, because I really like the one like where they have the dog and stuff.
let's get the one.
But I liked it. I'm sorry. As a brand story, I liked it. Don't at me.
Not at me.
Don't ruin this for me.
Ain't no at going on.
And look at that. That's it. That's all we got. See, I'm smiling. Boom. It totally worked.
Yeah.
It's a simple formula, friends, but it works every time. We will be back tomorrow with, I think this is going to be super interesting, a deep dive on the state of our, this is so relevant, don't you think, a little bit? The state of our democracy and the role that democracy plays in our economy. It's going to be great. In the meantime, send us your questions on that and other topics, your comments to makemesmart@marketplace.org. Don't forget the voice memo. We love it.
Yep.
Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera, who is probably thinking there's no way they're going to wrap this show on time, but look at us. Couple of pros over here. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner, and Erica Phillips writes our newsletter and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart device.
Drew Jostedt engineered, Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. The senior producer is Donna Tam. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves.
Erica Phillips, already with the buzzkill.
What does she do?
Budweiser owner Anheuser-Busch InBev will still advertise for brands like Bud Light Seltzer, Lemonade, Michelob Ultra, and Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzer, Variety reports. Never talk about anything. Like, you could just see how many holes there were going to be, but I don't care because I want a freaking public health campaign about the vaccine, and the governments probably can't afford it. Damn it.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.